Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Spiritual Insights with Charlotte Spicer. Spirituality and Metaphysics Talk Radio, featuring A Course in Miracles, Dream Interpretation, Guided Meditation, and the Psychic and Metaphysics Free-for-All. It's your opportunity to consult with a professional psychic medium, discuss past lives, the chakras, and more. We are non-denominational, and there are no limits. Want to change your life? You must first change your mind. 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 No matter your religious structure, cultivate peace in your reality through self-awareness with an authentic spiritual teacher. And now, your host, Charlotte Spicer.
Welcome to Spiritual Insights, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in from the United States and around the world. If you are new to the show, thank you for being here, and I invite you to explore all that we offer the Spiritual Insights community. In addition to producing these segments to help you deepen your spiritual journey, I am an energetic healer, teacher of A Course in Miracles, and channel for Jesus. I specialize in removing stagnant energy, negative emotions, and trauma from the human energy field, the chakras, inner child, subconscious, and other areas to relieve you of suffering and elevate your life experience. I am joined by my special guest co-host, Amy Verhagen of Blazing Heart Tarot. Amy has been working with the tarot since 2003 and with Mother Mary since 2009. Mother encouraged Amy to offer the tarot in service to others, stating that she would be working through Amy in her interpretations. Before each reading, Amy opens herself to the guidance of Mother Mary, but also Yeshua, to bring forth whatever is needed to facilitate transformation for the client. Through gentle and transformative tarot sessions, Amy lovingly guides you back to clarity and confidence so that your light can shine brightly and bless the world. To book either a live or email reading, contact Amy at hello@blazinghearttarot.com. To connect and interact, join her Facebook page, Blazing Heart Tarot, where you'll access a free monthly group guidance reading, which is performed on the new moon. You can also join her private Facebook group, Blazing Heart Tarot Women's Clarity Circle, to go deeper with her offerings. Visit spiritualinsightsradio.com to join the Spiritual Insights community, review the archives of channeled transmissions from members of the divine, and learn more about my energetic healing work, during which Yeshua, Mother Mary, and a host of other supreme beings, ascended masters, and archangels are present. Well, I am excited about today's topic, and we are anxious to dig into this. So, welcome back, Amy. It's wonderful to have you here once again.
Always wonderful to be here, Charlotte. What a pleasure.
Fantastic. Okay, so we have an excellent topic for today, something that is resonant to the times. And we have selected the topic of vulnerability.
Yes, we have.
Vulnerability.
And particularly vulnerability on the conscious path. So yes. This is really following on from our exploration last month about co-creation with the divine. And Charlotte and I are very much in the process of this. We've really opened ourselves, as we imagine many of you, the listeners, have also done. So we're experiencing firsthand just what it's like for the human body, the human self, to participate in this big work of co-creation, where the definitions of safety that we have been accustomed to and that we've spent hundreds of thousands of years evolving are not necessarily applicable anymore.
Mm-hmm. Very true. Things are definitely changing in the world, in our consciousness, and in the physical body as we move forward. With, you know, we throw these pretty words around like ascension and 5D consciousness, but that is where we are. So yes, Amy, in our last segment, we discussed co-creation, and many of you hopefully stepped up and said yes to this process. But at the moment, you may be asking, where in that process are you? What's happening? Because you might be feeling pretty vulnerable in that process. So this is what we want to dig into. And I am going through my own process of evolution, and there's a lot of vulnerability in that. There's a lot of surrender. And there's a lot of co-creation, so it encapsulates everything we've talked about thus far. And I like to liken it to, you know, what does this feel like for me? Kind of what it feels like is this beautiful process where you're looking at nature and you're looking in awe at all of the smaller processes that make up the whole. And I love that. And I love that vantage point. But sometimes it can get a little scary. And sometimes you can feel like you took this very trusting step and you took the hand of the divine and said, yes, I will co-create with you. I will do whatever is needed. And then sometimes you can feel like you just got thrown into the deep end. So for me at the moment, it's kind of like being caught in a storm in the middle of the ocean at night. Like, you got this dark stormy storm going on. There's choppy waves. You're feeling tossed about. You can't catch your breath. It's difficult to keep up. The pace seems a little quicker than is comfortable for you. And then you have the fear that comes up. What's going to happen? How will this turn out? When will the storm end? Will I be okay? All of these questions come up about the survivability of this storm. And what we're really looking at here is fear of the unknown. You know, where will I find my sense of safety? Where can I find that? So I don't have to give details. All I need to really help you understand is that things are scary at times. But there's a way of taking care of yourself. There are tips that have been offered us for our toolbox of pausing, connecting with spirit. And that's what we want to do today, ladies and gentlemen, is we want to pause, we want to connect to spirit and see what they have to tell us. But let me turn it over to you, Amy. How are you feeling vulnerable right now?
Well, that would be something of an understatement.
That's why I made it sound so campy. So how are you feeling? Oh my goodness. Anyway, things are definitely interesting. Tell us what you want to share about your experience.
So I guess really the element that's frightening to my little human self is the unknown. I do not know what is happening. There are a range of really significant questions in my life that are not clear. The answers are just not there. And I feel okay about that. I do, because it's just, I've let go of this idea. I'm not really sure I ever had it, to be perfectly honest, but the idea that somehow I can control the things that happen and that it's down to me to identify a goal and then identify a series of steps towards that goal and then to follow those steps. Like, it's, of course, there will always be elements of those processes in our lives for practical reasons, but the thinking about the ocean metaphor and this choppy surface that we feel like we're being thrown around on, like, what's going to happen with this? I don't know. You're guiding me in this direction, but I don't know why. And why have you not done this for me yet? Why are you not reassuring me? Why are you letting me be scared? All of these questions. And then that, for our human selves, for our nervous system, which has evolved to prioritize safety and predictability, it's very frightening. And then underneath, and I know this is a metaphor that you use, Charlotte, underneath the choppy surface is the still water. Mm-hmm. And then within the still water, there are these big, big, big currents. And those are the currents that we don't feel them moving us moment by moment because they're so big. It's only when we look back or when we really step out and take a long view of our lives that we see the changes that have happened within ourselves, within our circumstances, but they're subtle because we're being carried on this big journey. So I think this is really the two processes that are happening at the same time, is on the level of our soul, our deeper being, the part of us that's intimately connected with the divine and with the collective, is resting in this big current. We're being gently carried through these deep still waters, but on the surface is our body, our human minds, our conditioned self, the parts of us that have experienced fear and have experienced not being supported. And those little parts of ourselves really need to be brought into the fold, because they're asking questions like, why are you not taking care of me? I don't know where I'm going to live in a month's time. For example, why are you leaving me in this situation? Is it because you don't care about me? Is it because you don't love me? Is it because I don't matter? These are the questions that this little part of ourselves has. And they're, from the human perspective, they're very valid.
Mm-hmm.
They're valid questions. And we can't leave that aspect of ourselves aside. And sometimes in the kind of spiritual or how we conceptualize the spiritual process, we have this sense that, oh, well, I should be above all of this. I should just constantly accept that everything I have is exactly perfect. And I mean, yes, that may be true, but tell that to your frightened child. Tell your frightened child, everything's fine. Why are you feeling this way? Don't be so ridiculous. I mean, that just, as well as being unkind, it's ineffective. And so the purpose of this reading, really, of the session that we're doing today, is to really to invite that little part of ourselves in, so that it gets included in this big, big, big journey that we're taking, this big process that we've said yes to. We don't want to leave that little part of ourselves behind. Yes. We don't want to say, hey, stop spoiling the party. We're having this amazing co-creation. Like, no, we have to bring all of ourselves into the fold so that everybody feels safe.
We have to acknowledge that. And just for clarity for the listeners, when we say your child or your little girl, we've gotten used to Mother Mary, we're talking about the inner child. And so we want to invite that inner child into, we want to acknowledge, and we want it to participate in the growth that is taking place.
Yes.
I had mentioned to you that Mother Mary is doing a bit of a series on YouTube right now with regard to soul work. And in one of these videos, she mentions how all of you is right here now, all of you from moment to birth, from the inner child to the adolescent, to you in your 20s as you start to explore the world, go out into the world, to the wiser self in the 30s, 40s, and beyond. All of you is right here now. So don't detach from a certain part of yourself. Be inclusive of everything from the inner child to the higher self. Bring that into alignment to go to help you with navigating this, because that's what part of the complaint would be, part of the fear. If you're being tossed about, feeling tossed about on the ocean, you can liken it to you're in this little boat in the big ocean. You feel small. You feel vulnerable and not only prone to getting hurt or, you know, to this threat. You feel threatened. But what if you drop your oars into the ocean? You say, oh, in addition, I've lost my navigation system. And I don't know where to turn. I don't know what to do. So this is what we're going to dig into, using the tarot as a springboard to ask those important questions. What is being asked of me? And what am I being invited to do in order to help navigate this in a co-creative fashion? You're not on your own. And they will not force you to do anything. So we have to reach across, grab them by the hand and say, okay. And with that inner knowing, we want to listen to that still silent voice within, the still small voice. Sorry. We want to listen to that still small voice and hear what that has to say. And hopefully that will quell our fears. But do you concur with all of that, Amy?
Well, of course. Yeah, absolutely. And the thing that came to mind when you were talking about what Mother said about all of us being present, something that kind of occurred to me recently. I was thinking about a time in my life that was very, very, very painful and difficult. And where I am in my life now is really beautiful. I feel so grateful to be where I am now within myself. The ways that I found to address my own vulnerability, to live in a way that's joyful rather than struggle. And I feel so blessed and grateful to have found my way to this place. And so looking back to a time in my life that was so painful and so dark, I felt myself reaching back to that part of myself and saying, not just you're going to be okay, but you're going to get to this amazing place. Like, just hang in there, mm-hmm. hang in there, because it gets so much better. And that was a beautiful feeling to experience. And it also, I mean, I can only imagine things are going to keep getting better. And so there's probably a future self right now reaching back to me saying, Amy, like, you think this is good. You don't know the half of it. Mm-hmm. Where I am now at 75 or whatever.
Right.
I mean, you can't even imagine it. It's so beautiful. So that idea that the parts of ourselves are calling us forward and holding us and like holding that energy to invite us towards, I think that's really beautiful. And that's a nice little thing to remember sometimes as well in those moments of vulnerability that, wow, when I look back to that other place I was in that, I mean, comparatively in a way was so much worse and so much harder, and look how somehow I found myself to here. And so whatever vulnerability I'm in now, somehow I'm going to find my way to the stillness, the joy, or whatever it is that our soul is calling us to.
Yes. To, as you know, as we take that dark, stormy ocean metaphor, to the stillness beneath, the all of the activity, all of the chaos, the perceived chaos is happening on the surface. But as we sink into that stillness, and the stillness being our inner wisdom.
Yeah.
It's not just, I need someone to give me the answers. I need to listen to this podcast and get some inspiration. That's wonderful. You know, and I'm happy about that co-creative process as well. But as we surrender, and this is not to say succumb. Every now and then I want to bring this up. Okay. When we say surrender, it is not to say submit. You are not submitting to a power more fierce. Excuse me. You are not submitting to a power more fierce than you. You are tapping into your own power as it extends from a higher power. Okay. So you're not submitting to something that is that has the potential to hurt you, harm you, or destroy you. Okay. You will not be destroyed by this in any sense of the definition, no matter what the outcome of your situation is. And yes, I'm speaking of death here, because that is merely transition. But let me move away from that. What you're being asked to do is to tap into that inner wisdom, the wisdom of your 75-year-old self. The wisdom you haven't gotten acquainted with yet, but is still there within. It may be untapped potential, but it is there. Okay. It's real. And so you surrender in terms of, let me give up the struggle because I don't understand. And it doesn't work that way where you just ask point blank how to navigate this, because this is important this time in your life. There's a lot happening in the world. We have COVID. There are evictions happening across the country, and I assume around the world, in response to the lack of movement in the job sector. So a lot of people are struggling in different areas of their lives. But how do we go into that stillness? How do we tap into that wisdom? Take a breath, pause, go into stillness. Reassure yourself that it will be okay because you have experience to draw upon. No matter what's been happening in my life, and many of you know my life has been rather challenging, but the fact is I've always landed on my feet, always. And I may have cried and stomped my foot and shaken my fist at the heavens and said, why are you doing this to me? All of that took place, I assure you. But in the end, you look back and you realize that what you were going through was growing pains. And so as we gain that spiritual maturity, we start to recognize a lot more readily, I'm going through a growth spurt, and that's where we are. Okay, this is the vulnerable aspect of that growth spurt, of that period of expansion and stretching. You're being stretched beyond what you believe is your limit. This is what the mind and the body tell you.
Yes.
Spirit has another answer. So let me let you pick up on that and share your depths of knowledge with that.
I want to give a shout out to two things. Excuse me a moment. Sorry, I just needed to clear my throat there. So number one, both of them, as always, number one, the nervous system. So we talk about stillness as a spiritual concept, which it is, but there is a physiological level to it. In order to be still, in order to experience spiritual stillness, our nervous system has to be able to let go. And in order to let go, it needs to feel safe. So I think that sometimes there can be a little bit of a frustration with the difficulty in getting to that silent place. This kind of a sense of, I've been really working hard on my spirituality and my faith and my trust and letting go and surrendering, but I just can't still my mind, or I can't settle down into stillness. And the barrier there, I mean, there may be several. You may, as we've spoken about before, be hungry or tired, and actually you need to rest and eat before you start thinking about bigger spiritual activities. But fundamentally, the nervous system has to consent to that stillness. It has to be willing to let go of its hypervigilance, of its kind of focus on solving problems. And in order to do that, it needs to feel safe. And so I'd like to invite the listeners to consider that the route to this kind of spiritual experience is very much through the body, through the nervous system, and soothing ourselves when we feel activated, or we feel vulnerable, we feel frightened. The first port for me, this is what I've learned, and what has really made a big difference to me, is that my first port of call now is my body. How can I bring comfort to my body and my emotions, like really basic human self? And when that human self feels safe and feels responded to and nurtured, then it opens the way for this communion, the connection, the stillness, because it knows that it's safe. So that's one thing. And the other thing that I want to give a shout out to is support. So something that I've started doing recently when difficult situations come up is that I pause and I say, who can support me with this? And then I think carefully, because it's wonderful to feel that life is supporting you, but you still need to be a little bit strategic about it. If you go to the wrong person for support, it can end up being kind of a little bit of a harmful experience, because then you go in need, and then you
a difficult lesson. It can be a lesson.
Yeah.
Not always free.
Yes. And that can actually be very vulnerable, to reach out to somebody vulnerably for support and to find that they're the wrong person and they don't have it and they don't respond in it. I mean, if they respond kindly and they say, I would so love to help you, but I can't, but maybe I could help you. You know, like there are different
ways. They can ways be polite about it, but the experience can still sting. In terms of looking for this, and I got this, and I didn't get what I wanted, and I feel hurt.
Yeah. So it's important to be strategic about who you ask, and to realize that, you know, they also have their own life, and they may or may not be able to support you, and so on. So those are the disclaimers.
Right.
The fundamental principle is, I'm in a challenging situation, and I don't know what to do with it. So in previous times, I would, you know, I would have kind of collapsed in some of the situations that I've been in recently. But what I've done is take a pause and think, okay. And again, I want to mention the nervous system here, because when the nervous system is activated by threat, it wants immediate action. It wants to do, it doesn't matter if it's a useless action, it just wants action, because it wants to kind of dispel the stress and anxiety it feels. So the pause is absolutely essential here, to not go with the instinct to kind of fight back or run away or whatever, to cultivate the ability to withstand that desire to react immediately, just to take that little pause. And this is a way to do it, actually, to say, who can support me? And then you have to start thinking, what is the need that I've got? Who's got the resources that can meet that need?
Mm-hmm.
So,
and let's bring in the word comfort too. Doesn't matter how old you are, we all need comfort at some point.
We do. And sometimes that's the support you need. You need somebody to say, I'm with you. I'm going to be here with you through this. And no matter what happens, I'm going to be here to support you. And sometimes that's all you need. So you reach out for that support, whether it's something practical, whether it's comfort, whether it's just somebody to listen and care. And then what I found is
intellectual. It can be emotional.
Absolutely.
It can be moral support. It can be monetary support.
It can be information.
And it may be someone that you approach where you say, you know, can you support me in some way, in this way? And what if that person says, you know what, I'm not able to do that, but here's what I know about you. I trust you. And I know that you're going to be okay.
Yeah.
This is difficult, but I know you're going to be okay. And you know what? Sometimes just hearing that.
Yeah.
Can offer the comfort that you need.
Yeah. And we're kind of circling back to co-creation here a little bit. We get the impulse to reach out for the support. What comes back might not be what we expect, but chances are good. If we've taken the time to feel where we're being led to ask for the support, chances are good that it's going to be exactly what we need, irrespective of whether it's what we expect. So I found this to be a complete game changer. I reach out to whoever it is and I say, listen, can you give me this information? Can you do this? Can you whatever? And they say, here you go. Or I can't, but ask this person. And then I do that. And then I feel so strong because, again, we're back to the nervous system, which just is at the root of everything. Our nervous systems have evolved to interdepend. We have evolved to feel safe through connection with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're on a spiritual path, that's there's another level to that. But on the base, because we rely on the divine in a kind of deeper way, but on the level of being a human being, our nervous systems have literally evolved over hundreds of thousands of years to find safety in our connections with others. And there is a raft of research that shows that nothing comforts us as much as connection with another human being. Nothing makes us feel more safe. Nothing makes us healthier. Nothing makes us thrive in the way that feeling safely connected to other people does. This is just a simple fact of our existence. There's nothing
hard
about it.
That is what it is, human. Mm-hmm. That's how we're hardwired.
Exactly, exactly. And so in these experiences that I'm mentioning that I've had recently, I have felt once I've reached out for the support and I've got it, or even actually sometimes it's just the reaching out. Sometimes once I've reached out, I realize I didn't even need any support. It was the choice, the acknowledgement that there is support available to me in the world, and the kind of the choice to reach out for that rather than think I have to fix this on my own.
That is sometimes an excellent point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that can be the game changer on its own.
Right there.
And then my nervous system is at peace because it feels like I am safe because I'm connected to other people who will be there for me. There's no danger because I'm connected.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go back to the tricky situation. I'm strong. I'm clear.
Mm-hmm.
I'm respectful, but I don't take any nonsense from anybody. I have a couple of people that, you know, they tried to kind of, they were pulling some dodgy moves. So I just stood firm. And in both two situations in particular, I'm thinking of, and in both cases, they worked out beautifully. And I felt so strong after having dealt with this difficulty that came to me. And that's an exponential thing. I've now experienced what happens when you approach a difficulty in this way. So I feel even more safe in the world because I know now that any difficulty that comes to me in the future, mm-hmm. I have a rock solid system for addressing it, remaining conscious, remaining calm, not like melting down and needing to watch TV for 3 days or something. Which I've done in the past. You know, there have been things that have come and they've just triggered me so much that I've shut down for days at a time.
Oh, I've done that.
I think
I got a bit rather catatonic. I didn't even turn the TV on. I just sat there.
Yeah, yeah.
Couldn't move.
And that is the nervous system in crisis. It's overwhelmed. And so these little strategies, just such a simple question. who can support me with this? Who can, I mean, even if you sat there in your catatonic state and asked yourself that for half an hour, you know, you'd be out of it in no time because it's practical. It's something that, you can do.
That's the thing. The fear of reaching out can often be far more frightening than the potential outcome of the situation. It's that stepping out of that isolated position you've taken in response or in reaction to your situation. Oh, I'm all alone. I'm vulnerable. This is going to hurt me. This will destroy me. I'm going to lose everything. I'm not going to get what I want. Whatever your fear is, facing that is far more frightening than planting your feet on the ground afterwards and looking back and, wow, I made it. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's maybe it looks similar to what I pictured. Maybe it doesn't. In my situation, what I want is something completely different from everything I've known. And that could be putting a tall order on myself. Well, then if that's what you want, then you have a lot to let go of. And so after our talk about co-creation, you know, you're all jazzed up. Like, yeah, that's what I want. I'm willing to do anything. I'm willing to do anything. But when you get into those smaller moments of the fear, the anxiety, the questioning, that ceaseless questioning of the mind, and the nagging, I will say, the nagging of the reactive self. What are you doing? What do you mean you're going to be in co-creation? You're letting go. What do you mean you're not going to be in control? Nope, I'm letting go. And then there's a part of you that says, what am I thinking? No, let me find those oars so I can row this boat in a way that I think is appropriate or that matches my fantasies, which is, that's a dangerous way to go. But you get the point, you know, it's not about adhering to some kind of criteria that you've set as to what makes you feel safe. And I love this saying that, and I haven't said it in a long time, that we can set up our hopes, our expectations, our attachments. We can be quite conscious of those things. But that's the thing about growth, is helping you rise above those things. Those things are what's causing you the angst, okay? And so rising above those is going to be as difficult as you allow it to be in terms of letting go of those attachments, those expectations, and letting go of whatever image has been conjured in your mind as to what guarantees safety, okay? So this is about stretching and learning more about yourself than anything. And the phrase that I like to pull out of my bag of funnies every now and then is, the universe has no obligation whatsoever to meet your fantasies and expectations. It has no obligation. But we seem to keep trying to force it to, or demand that it does. And we make all these demands and we pout, you know, and that's the reactive. So like I said, we stomp our feet, we shake our fists. And then the first thing we ask is, what did I do to deserve this? You're always going to turn it around to being a victim. What did I do to deserve this? You did nothing to deserve this. Nothing is being done to you.
Yeah.
You are being shown, you are being invited to step up to a higher level, to shift into a much higher paradigm, a way of thinking, a way of being, and to grow into the trust and faith that you were born with, but that life and all those experiences on the stormy ocean. Look at what it's shown you. Look at what you've grown to believe about it, how you've grown spiritually and as an adult, and then let it go. Don't worry. The worry, Jesus would call it worryment, a word, and that's one of my favorite words from him, but worry gets you nowhere. All you're doing, tagging right along with Amy, all you're doing is taxing your nervous system, your central nervous system. You're not giving your parasympathetic nervous system a chance to get in there and soothe reactive nervous system. You're not, if you're not engaging in serious self-care, if you can't stop and pause, it's all about the pause. What's happening? What am I doing? Well, I'm in full-blown reaction. And if you need to be emotional, go ahead. But you have to be able to pull back and say, okay, am I doing that thing again? Is this habitual? this reaction? Is this habitual behavior? Is this a reflexive reaction where I always kind of go down this road? You know what? Maybe this time I'll pause, I'll stand still, and I'll pick a new direction, because that's what this is all about. We're all being guided into a new direction. And much of it is unfamiliar. And it's certainly scary. I can attest to that. Mm. It's certainly scary. But I think there's so much promise in the newness of it. Because if you feel like I do, ladies and gentlemen, I'm kind of sick of the old. I'm kind of tired of it. It's not, most of it is not even satisfying. Mm. I want something new.
Yeah.
That's where I am. And so we want to take you along with us, ladies and gentlemen. If you're in the throes of a situation where you need that comfort, where you need that reassurance, that's what we're here to offer you. So we're going to get into that now.
That's right. And we're going to focus specifically on vulnerability, because this is a thing that makes it really hard to stay on this path of willingness. It's easy to sit in your beautiful meditation and say, yes, I'm willing, let's co-create, I'll show up in whatever way you want me to. Mm-hmm. And then when the divine says, okay, the way you're going to show up is you're not going to know where you're living. You're not going to know this, or this. And then this thing that you hoped was going to happen is not going to happen. You're like, not sure this is what I signed up for. That's when the vulnerability kind of steps in. So that's what we really want to address today. Mm-hmm. So we are going to.
Mm-hmm. While there may be safety nets present, you will not be able to see them, beloved one.
Exactly.
Yeah. You must trust us. You must. Let's do the. We can use stepping stones, or we can use swinging from vine to vine in this beautiful, lush jungle with crocodiles in the moat. You know, kind of like that video game from the 80s. But you know, your trust is to grab onto that, and to trust when to let go of one vine, grab onto the other, and keep moving forward, and not allow a false sense of defeat to overwhelm you. Mm. That's what I think.
I'd like to share something, if that's okay. That mm-hmm. really. It was a very paradoxical experience, but it's been very profound. So I had a car accident about just over a month ago. I was driving and the road was pretty slippy, and I lost control of my car, spun across several lanes, like turned around. The car was on its side at one point. Apparently it was pretty dramatic. And then I landed, and I didn't really see any of this happening. Like, I don't know if I closed my eyes or my brain just kind of shut my optic nerve down. I don't know. I didn't visually kind of see what was happening. I had a vague sense that I was crashing, but I kind of like came to again as the car stopped. I just kind of bumped my shoulder on the window, and that was it. So my car was written off completely, and yet I was completely unhurt. And the more I think about it, the more I realize that if any number of variables had been very, very, very slightly different, I could have been killed, I could have been horrifically injured, I might have hit somebody else's car and they might have been hurt. Like, there are just so many other ways that it could have gone. But the way that it went was my car, which I was having a lot of issues with anyway, actually, and was probably on its last legs.
We talked about it when we first met you. You have this awesome car to work on and with your mechanic.
Yeah, my beautiful car. I did so much work in that engine and it was still giving me problems. So I think it was really, you know.
It was, we thought it was terrific, but apparently your soul had other plans. It's like, no, you're not going to work on this forever and ever. We need you to work on something new. Wow. And so no other cars were involved in this. You didn't smash into anybody.
No. Okay. No. And I hit a barrier and like bashed the barrier, like miles out of place, but I hit the end of the barrier. So it had the room to move. If I'd hit it slightly further along, I would have hit it full impact and my car would have absorbed all the impact rather than the impact going into the barrier moving. And I mean, I flattened like a big metal pole, like right into the ground. And it was really
good. Lord, Amy.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are you doing there?
I know.
Well, I didn't know it was this bad. You said you were in an accident and I asked if you were hurt and you said not at all.
Yeah.
Excellent. Okay.
So yeah. And many people, when I've actually described it to them, have had a similar reaction. Like, oh, Amy, you said you were fine. So I assumed it was like a little bump. No, it was like onlookers.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting
two wheels
this.
At one point. Like, it was dramatic. But I felt completely safe. So I kind of woke up. I thought, okay, I've crashed my car. I'm fine. Got out of the car, surveyed the damage. Somebody helped me to kind of, he kind of held the barrier out of the way as I drove the car out. I couldn't drive the car any further because like the wheel was all off kilter. And you know, the car was clearly a write-off. And I felt really fine. And I thought, well, maybe the shock is going to set in later. I didn't really think it would because I really genuinely did feel fine. And then, you know, there was stuff to, I had to tell the police the car was on the side of the road and contact the insurance, all this kind of practical stuff. And then once all of that was done and I was at home in bed, I mean, this was like 10:30 at night when all of this happened. So it was pretty late.
My goodness.
Yeah. And I got home and I thought, you know, so the car has been taken away from me and that feels fine. And my life has been left with me. And because of the nature of the accident, there were just, even leading up, even the reason that I was there on the road at that time was, there was a, you know, 10 coincidences leading up to that. So it was all kind of a little bit strange. And I thought, they, as I call the divine, they have decided, they have done this and they have left, they have decided that they want me alive. Because if they wanted me dead, I would have been dead. If it had served the world more for me to have died in that accident, I would have died.
No question. Mm-hmm.
So the fact that I'm still alive means they have chosen for me to be alive. And what kind of follows on from that is everything that happens to me is because they want it to happen. So what is there to be afraid of? Like, I went to this thing with a friend of mine. It's like a treetop adventure thing where you climb, kind of jump off trees and there's like zip lines and
zip
all
lines,
kinds of things.
Yeah,
all that kind of stuff. And like, as I went from kind of tree to tree and jumped off things and all of this, I just had this overwhelming sense of safety. Like, I am being held. There is nothing that's going to happen to me that is not the choice of this loving energy that's holding me right now. Mm-hmm. There is, even if I fall off this tree and break my legs, somebody that loves me has decided that that's going to happen. So what is there for me to be afraid of? Like, this car accident has been a game changer for my life. I feel so safe because I had the experience, or at least this is how I perceive it, the experience of that kind of unbeatable power, in a sense, this power that will always have its way. It will always prevail. And that power loves me. So mm-hmm. what is there for me to be scared of? What could possibly hurt me? There isn't anything.
And that's a very profound, ultimate, you know, conclusion to draw. Your soul says, well, you need this experience, Amy. And the divine comes in and says, all right, we will support you through this experience and help you to see what you've gotten out of it. And hopefully open your eyes to that instead of, you know, because you could have just said, you know, my car's totaled and gone, you know, in down that negative path. Mm. You could have gone all negative, but you didn't. I would surmise that in that experience, time slowed down for you. Mm. And you really got to feel your true essence. That this car spinning around and crashing into things. But you experienced the profound stillness within that experience.
Yeah.
And that gives you a real North Star. It's like a North Star or a mile marker to which you can keep your sights on no matter what.
Yeah.
And we've both been through some pretty touchstone. We've been through some pretty scary stuff, but some things keep reminding us and reinforcing you are safe.
Yeah.
You are safe.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. So let's get on to our reading. So we've got four cards, as I think we have had each time so far. Mm-hmm. And we're going to begin with the kind of the center of all this, the way in which our willingness to be vulnerable in this particular way, to be so open to the divine on a moment by moment basis, how this serves the collective. So that's the first card. And then we're going to look at how we are asked to take care of ourselves within this choice, within the choice to live in this vulnerable way. Then we're going to move to how the collective takes care of us within. You may be able to hear me shuffling the cards. how the collective takes care of us within that choice, because obviously it's a two-way thing. We're signing up to serve, and so there's, you know, there's a, our offering is reciprocated. And then finally, we're going to look at what we are invited to let go of in order to be able to show up in this way and serve in this way. Because if, I don't know, if we want to feel really like safe in a really human way and know what's going to happen every week from now until we die, that's not compatible with co-creating. It's just not.
No.
It's just, there are certain things that as human beings, we have to choose to set aside in order to show up in this way. So
that's constantly trying to revive or resuscitate a false sense of security that's been on life support for so long. And you just can't make that shift. But this is with what's happening in the world and what's happening with everyone individually is asking you to, you know, not keep trying to revive that shift to something.
Yeah, that's right.
Shift to a new way of thinking, a new way of approaching situations.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when we choose that, on whatever level we choose it, then the things show up. You know, the car accident that paradoxically makes you feel safe shows up, or whatever the experience might be, those support comes.
Yes, and as funny as that sounds, it's quite real. And because of the reality of it, that solidifies your perspective on that sense of safety. I think it's beautiful.
Yeah, exactly. Beautiful. It goes from being something conceptual, it goes to something that your body understands. And that's real understanding. When your body accepts it as a reality, that's very different from your mind kind of understanding, like that, you know, that it makes sense. Or
I like how you say that, if your body accepts it.
Yeah.
Because we usually focus on, you know, what the mind does, but if your body, I like that. Let's go with that.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. Okay, so I am going to lay the cards out in just a couple of seconds. Here we go. And Charlotte, do you have your cards there?
I do.
Beautiful. Okay, so card number one, how does our willingness to be vulnerable in this way serve the collective? Four of Pentacles.
Oh.
And that's on the top in the center. Card number two, how are we asked to take care of ourselves within this choice to be vulnerable? Five of Cups reversed. That's on the left-hand side. Next card, how does the collective take care of us within our choice to be vulnerable and show up in this way? Four of Cups. And then at the bottom, the last card, what are we invited to let go of in order to serve in this way? Ten of Pentacles.
Okay. So let's recap. The first card, and that's, we're doing a four card, and I want to do this along with you, and I invite the listeners to do the same. So in the upper left, we're doing a four card spread. In the upper left,
it's more of a diamond. It's more of a diamond.
A diamond? Oh,
it's, actually, it's more of like, it's more of like a bowl with something in it. So it's kind of, it's pretty much in the shape of a diamond. And at the top, we have this, how does this serve? And then the three cards that kind of hold that.
Okay.
So on the left.
Again, that was Four of Pentacles was first.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Then on the left, we have the Five of Cups reversed.
Reversed. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Four of Cups.
Yeah. That's on the right-hand side.
Right-hand side. And then the Ten of Pentacles.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, that's right. So the first thing I want to point out is that these are all cards for anybody who's familiar with the tarot. They're cards from the minor arcana, which deal more, they're the ones with the four suits, similar to playing cards, which deal more with the kind of day-to-day experiences of life rather than the more archetypal energies, which are dealt with by the major arcana. So the significance of that for me is that this really is, these are human questions. This is the overall topic is very spiritual, but the need here is a human need. What needs addressing is the human part of us.
Right.
And we have water and we have earth. So pentacles is earth and water is, cups are the elements of water. So we have no air and no fire. We have these more solid kind of tangible elements, which in the tarot, they're both feminine. I know in other systems, earth can be masculine. In the tarot, it's considered feminine. So yeah, there's a tangibility rather than the sort of the air and the fire, which are more ethereal or more of the mind, more conceptual. So,
interesting.
Ready to get going?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So question number one, how does our willingness to be vulnerable in this way serve the collective? And my feeling, so this card, I'll just describe it briefly for anybody that can't see it. There's a man sitting on the edge of a city on kind of a block, and the pentacle is like a disc with a star on it, a five-pointed star. And he's holding one in front of his torso. There's one above his head, and his feet are both resting on one. So there are four of them, and they are covering almost the gateways through which we connect with things outside of ourselves. So he's covering his heart, he's covering his head, and he's covering his feet, connection to the earth, connection to others, connection to the divine. And so it's very much a card of, I want to do this myself. I want to keep my own resources. I want to make my own plans. Just go away. I feel vulnerable. I don't want you to come near me. There's the fear in there. And my feeling, because the question we're answering here is about how our willingness serves, my sense is that we, as the people who have kind of undertaken to do this sort of difficult, beautiful journey, we kind of lead the way for the collective. So Mother has talked about the ways that our choices affect the collective. She gave an example during School of Love of smiling, and that for some of us, it's very easy to smile in all sorts of situations. But for other people, it might be much harder. And for the person that it's difficult for, when they find themselves in a situation where actually they say, no, you know what, I am going to smile because it feels good. And then they kind of overcome that resistance and they smile. The energy of their choice ripples out. And then somebody else somewhere in the world finds it easier to overcome their resistance to smiling. And they let that beautiful, genuine smile out. And then maybe somebody across the road sees it and thinks, oh, that's nice. And then that changes their mindset. And then they're kinder to the next person they meet or whatever. So there's this, there's the ripple effect, both on the practical, physical level where you see my smile and you smile or vice versa. And on the energetic level where somebody just somewhere in the collective, could be on the other side of the world, is affected by the energy of our choice. We have kind of opened a little gate that they can now step through. By opening the gate and stepping through it ourselves, we allow others to now step through that same gate. So my feeling with this card is that, I mean, we're all human beings, all of us, and more of us are kind of grounded in that sort of primal humanity than are connecting with the sort of spiritual energy that we are talking about. So those of us in the minority that are choosing to make these kind of scary choices to co-create and to be open and to be willing to be in the vulnerability of that, we are contributing that energy into the collective, and it just makes it that little bit easier for other people to do it. So it's like a catalytic effect.
Definitely. And in the card behind him is an entire community that he's got his back to.
That's right. That's
exactly
right.
What we were talking about, and what you're saying now is he's trying not to tap into those resources, wants to do it all himself. Like we were saying, the isolative effect of, I want to do this on my own. I have all the answers, or I want it a certain way. I need it to be a certain way in order to feel safe. But your soul can really open your eyes to, there are other ways that will give you a more increased sense of safety, proof that you're safe, not even that false image and that false sense of security I was alluding to a few minutes ago.
Yeah, and that's a beautiful way to put it, Charlotte, a beautiful way to put it. For most of us human beings, we seek safety in things that don't guarantee safety. I mean, you buy a house and that's beautiful and you feel safe, and then there's like a wildfire or hurricane and your house is gone. Mm-hmm. So if that's where your safety is, suddenly you've got no safety anymore. It's not, you know, I mean, most houses don't blow down or burn down, but still it's to some extent, there is a false sense of security. Whereas when you place your security in love, in the divine, that's a real source of security. So yeah, by us making these choices, we are allowing other people to then make that shift from the more illusory safety to the more lasting safety.
Yes. And that's a huge topic in and of itself, but just to reiterate that, that the true safety is in knowing your source and knowing where you're from. And so these life experiences down here in 3D can, you know, shatter some of those illusions and, reinforce the stronger ones, the more reliable ones. So to anyone who has had an experience, because I know quite a few people who have had traumatic experiences with regard to their home and the safety that it provides, and having to rearrange or having to accept the fact that, well, my family's alive, the possessions, we need to let go of our attachment to the possessions. But anyway, this is fascinating how it goes right in with what we were saying with the flow of the
energy. I was expecting something here about how I don't know, something more personal, something more to do with us, but actually it's the opposite. The question is, how does it serve? So I guess it is answering that.
Well, just to remind the listeners, we've talked about it before. When you've had a childhood where I want to put it the way you put it. Here's the thing. I let Amy give me a reading recently. So I'm going to let you put it the way, where you said in my childhood environment, the people there were not taking responsibility for their actions. Mm. What that teaches us as children is that it's all up to us. Yes. And if we want something, we have to get it ourselves. We have to procure that ourselves. In my case, in the case of many other people who are listening, if you want clothing, you have to go get a job. Mm. You know, you have to go find a way to make some money, babysitting, a paper route, you know, mowing lawns, whatever you have to do. But if there's something, a need that needs to be fulfilled, then you either learn to fulfill it yourself or you learn to do without. You know, or in some cases you become a professional extortionist, but that's another talk. but it does happen.
Mm-hmm. When you've come by things in that way, when it's been a struggle and it's been difficult, then of course you don't want to let them go. Of course you want to guard them closely, like this guy is doing in the card. You want to hold on to them really tight. They were hard to come by. You struggled. You don't want to have to go through that again. So you develop this clinging, which is very understandable and it's very adaptive from a human perspective. It's very adaptive to hold tightly to the things that ensure your survival or your well-being. And moving to the spiritual, I mean, my car is another great example here. So I lost that car. And then the car I have now is like 1,000 times better in every respect. So they took away a car that didn't work and they gave me a car that is beautiful and I absolutely love. Like, you know, they take something away to make space to give you something better.
It wouldn't have occurred to you to give one up to go get another.
Correct.
Were fine. You were content with what you had. But this.
Yeah, I thought if I lose this car, oh my God, how will I cope? I couldn't believe how well I coped without a car for a month. It was this is fine. I'm doing loads of walking. This is great. When you're clinging, you're afraid. What will happen to me if I lose this? I'm frightened, so I'm going to cling on to this. And when you perceive it as a flow of spirit, you say, this came to me from spirit. Spirit will take it away. Spirit will give me something else. It will be something better. It will be what I need. Mm-hmm. When we say better, it's important to not let our minds jump onto that, because what our minds think is better is to just not go there and just say whatever comes, you know, I trust.
How about more suited?
Yeah,
because evolve, we may, our needs may change, or those may change. So as we evolve, the needs evolve, and then the solutions evolve, and the directions from which they come. All of that.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So that is card number one. Now we are moving on to the cups. So on the left, how are we asked to take care of ourselves within this choice to be vulnerable? And the five of cups shows. I'll just describe it for those who are not looking at it right now. So there's a figure. It looks female. She's wearing a long cloak and her head is bowed. And we kind of see her kind of from the side or kind of a little bit from behind. She's standing near a river and she's looking down at three cups, which are knocked over on the ground with liquid coming out of them. And behind her are two cups, which are standing upright. And cups in the tarot represent emotion, essentially. Emotion, love, connection, those kinds of things. So she is focusing on the three that have been knocked over. And currently she's not looking at the two that are still upright. And this is in when the card is upright. So in our case, it's reversed. And so her focus actually shifts, not to what she's lost, but to what is still there or what has come, what's been given to her. Mm-hmm. So the invitation with this card is actually to be quite pragmatic. So it's about how to take care of ourselves within the vulnerability. And I think it's very much what you said earlier, Charlotte, about looking at what's happened to us. So we say that was a really painful time, but look what it got me. Because I went through that, look what I came to, look what I learned about myself, look at the joy I was able to experience, look at the beautiful person I met, look at the beautiful car I was given, whatever it happens to be, so that when we're in that moment of vulnerability and we think, oh my God, what's going to happen to me? We can get kind of practical and say, okay, last time I felt like this, it was scary. I was uncertain. I didn't know what was happening. And then this thing happened. It may have taken a while. It may have taken 10 years. Who knows? It may have taken 20 or 50, but it was a process. I was in that process at that time. And the mm-hmm. process was important to get me to this beautiful place that I'm so happy to be. And then, of course, the process continues and things don't stay the same. But if we really look at our lives, then we can find the meaning, or we can find the pattern. Things are taken away in order to create space for things to then come, things that we need. Excuse me. And
that's called transformation.
Yeah,
It's not always quick. It is gradual. It can extend longer periods of time than you would want, prefer, or anticipate. But that's what's happening. That's really what we're talking about. How the fear of the unknown leads us through the door of transformation into a greater expression of ourselves. And this is a fantastic depiction.
Yeah. And something that's actually really important to mention about this card, because this card really is about grief. It's about the grief of loss.
Yeah.
And loss can be anything, can be a person, can be a possession, can be a part of ourselves that we lose. And it might be a part of ourselves that we were desperate to lose and we couldn't wait to get rid of it. But now that it's gone, there's just that little moment of honoring where we've been and honoring the difficulty or the joy or whatever it is that we've now let go of, or that we're in the process of letting go of. That takes time. And when something is taken away, it's not really always in our best interest to immediately have the next thing, because we need some time sometimes to come to terms with that loss. And then when we've really come to terms with it and integrated it, then we're ready to move. It's like with a relationship. Mm-hmm. If you end one relationship and immediately go into another, there's just a ton of unprocessed stuff that you bring into the next one. And then you're all focused on the next one. So you don't really have time to go back and do that processing, and you get overloaded. Your nervous system's got too much stuff going on. So
you have to come to balance. I guess significant change. You have to come back to some sort of balance.
You have to, yes, within yourself. You need to kind of just process the experience. And that, I think that's where sometimes we start fighting, we start resisting, and we think, well, hang on a second, you know, this isn't really what I signed up for. You've taken this thing away, but you haven't given me anything in return, and so on. But what we are being given is a chance to rest and reflect, and we need it. And the next thing will be given, but we need to really appreciate that we're being given time to integrate and experience before we move on to the next one. So in terms of the question of how we take care of ourselves, there's the recognition that we're in a process from one thing to another, and that it's not that we've been abandoned, it's just part of the process of transformation and change, but also that we allow ourselves to grieve in whatever way we need to, or celebrate, absolutely, or whatever it happens to be, mm-hmm, that we recognize that from point A to point B, there is a space in between, and that it's, we need that space. It's not that we're being deprived or, and to be honest, this is really useful for me to hear because I'm in a lot of uncertainty at the moment.
Certainly.
Mm-hmm. It's important to remind ourselves that what we're being given is time. We're being given time and opportunities to learn something, feel something, experience something before we move on to the next kind of form, as it were.
So, and those for are me, the two. And for me, the mm-hmm listeners know, I am a huge fan of thoroughness, and I'm a huge fan of efficiency. And mm-hmm for me, those opportunities, I welcome them because I get to look at my situation or myself that much more deeply, thoroughly, and not leave a stone unturned. You know, it yeah doesn't mean I approach every situation every time this way. But that's where I am right now, where I want to overturn every stone and do my normal thing of analyzation. My process is more observation, analyzation, integration, application. That's the process I take myself through when I'm working through something like this. And I try to do it as consciously as possible. If you want to write that down, I know I said that rather quickly. It's observation, analyzation, integration, application. So that's my definition for wisdom. So I want to take everything I can. I want to glean everything I can from this experience to take with me, because those are the things of value, not what I've lost. You know, I can't help myself, but, you know, of course, miracle says, you know, what's real cannot be threatened.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful.
And it's not any real, it does not exist. So
yeah, helps. So I have a similar process, except for me, it's on the level of feeling.
Mm-hmm.
My mind can go a million miles an hour, but my body is slow. My feelings are slow. And when something happens, then I immediately want something else to happen. You know, I immediately want, like, I want this to be sorted. I want whatever. I want something. But actually what I need every single time, and I'm always so grateful that I get it, is I just need time to feel. What does this feel like? What's it bringing up? What comfort do I need? What, like, so it's the same process that you go through, except on the feeling level.
That's fascinating.
I absolutely need that. Like, I had something that I was really hoping for recently, a place that I thought I was going to be living. And then I found out that it wasn't going to happen. And I felt okay about it. I felt calm, but I recognized this little human bit of me was going to need just a little moment to process it. So I got in the bath. And I just spent a little bit of time in the feeling, just feeling it. Universe, do you really love me? Like, you haven't given me this thing and I don't know when it's coming. Do you mm-hmm care about me? Mm-hmm. And then asking those questions was just what I needed. And then I thought, yeah, it does. Life loves me. And then I got out of that bath and I've moved on. But I just needed that little moment in there to be with those soft feelings. Just needed that little process. So, so this card is, I guess, really inviting us to embrace that. So when it feels like nothing is happening, that's when we start to really get antsy. But we need to remember that it's not that nothing is happening. We're being given an opportunity to just feel or analyze or whatever way that we like to approach these things. Mm-hmm. We're being given time to be with the process.
And I
there's
like
something.
Mm-hmm. Good. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
And there's something really valuable within that time. We don't know what it is, but when we look back, we will know 100%. We will know why we were given that extra space in between.
Yes. I wanted to support and reinforce what you're saying about your perspective of, you know, the body, right? One of the best ways to pause is to bring the five senses in. You can say, this is how you ground yourself. Okay. If you're all over the place emotionally, you're freaking out. You don't know what's going to happen. You've got fear of the unknown, fear of loss, fear of not getting what you want, fear of embarrassment. You know, we have that, all of us. We have the fear of how we're perceived in the eyes of others. You know, certainly that's all part of it. But Mother says, use the five senses. What does this look like? What does it feel like? What are you hearing? What are you feeling? What are you sensing? Bring it, rein it all in. Solidify it and regroup so that you can redirect.
Yeah, it's bringing that animal self in.
Yes.
The animal self that wants to pull us off this path because it doesn't like it. It's bringing it in and saying, come along. It's safe. I've got you. Be part of it.
But without reacting to the animalistic instinct that says, I'm in danger here. Unless you're in really real danger, like, you know.
Yeah.
Always say, the car is heading right for you at, you know, 60 miles an hour. Mm. That's danger. Mm. Okay. Yeah. You're not in danger if you're in a transformative process.
Yeah.
You're not in physical danger. So that's certainly a different type of fear. But it's just, I mean, we could go on and on with this, but bring those five senses
we could
pause, regroup, redirect, and know that your soul has you.
Yeah. And I appreciate, rather than say, for God's sake, why are you not doing this thing that I want? Say like, thank you for this time. I don't really know why, but you know, you've clearly given it to me for a reason because you love me. So let me use it well. Maybe nothing's happening. So I'm going to go to the garden for an hour. I'm going to get in the bath. I'm going to read a book, like going to call a friend.
Get into nature, exercise, cook, whatever. Just pass the time lovingly towards yourself. Yeah, Don't beat yourself up because something's not happening yet.
Exactly.
Spirit's going to say, well, beloved, we're cooking something else up for you.
Yeah.
So you might as well take this time here's a good book and a comfy robe.
Exactly.
Go relax.
Yeah. Which is the opposite of what our nervous system wants when we don't know what's happening.
But, fight or flight. Absolutely. Flight or freeze. Don't do any of those.
Yeah. So I think we need to expand that to fight, flight, freeze, or like go to the spa for the day.
For self-care. There you go. Yeah. I love it.
Rest. Freeze, or rest. Okay. Let's crack on.
Yeah, we have to wrap up pretty soon.
So third card is looking from the opposite perspective. Now, how does the collective take care of us within the vulnerability that we kind of consent to, that we step into when we live in this way? Mm. And here we have the Four of Cups. So the picture shows a figure, let's call it a man, it could be either, sitting on a little hill with a tree. He's leaning against a tree, or there's a tree behind him, and he's looking at three cups. So this is, you know, the previous card was the Five of Cups, so these are of course very linked. He's looking at these three cups, and he's sitting cross-legged, he's got his arms crossed, and he's really gazing at them. And then at his side, there is a hand coming out of a cloud holding a cup, offering it to him. And the kind of traditional meaning, because cups being water can be kind of a bit sentimental, they like to hold on to things. And so the traditional meaning of this card is to do with focusing on the things that really it's time to let go of. Life is here trying to offer us something new, and we're like, no thanks, life. We don't even, you know, we're doing like covering our ears saying la 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 la, because we want this thing that we have. We don't want to let it go. But I feel that the focus, because of the context here, is that no matter what is taken away, no matter what kind of fades or loses its luster or doesn't give us the same joy that it once did, something else is always given. So this figure is here looking at these three cups, and they're still upright. So in the next card, which is the Five, they have been knocked over. Life has said, okay, you've had long enough now to kind of be sentimental about these things. We're now taking them away. So that's the, in terms of the, you know, the cards outside of the context of a reading, that's sort of the progression. But currently in the Four, they're still there. Whatever situation it is, hasn't really been taken away yet. It will be if we don't let it go voluntarily. Or in fact, I guess it being taken away is our soul consenting to it being taken away. Mm-hmm. But life already has the next thing lined up for us. Even while this situation is still there and is just getting ready to leave, the next thing is already lined up. There is no point where we are not known, held, provided for, noticed, cared for. Like, we are never, ever left. We're never abandoned. We're always, what we need is always in the pipeline. Before it's needed. Yeah. Even before it's needed. Like, I don't know, it's like if you have your beloved child and they're having breakfast and you're, you know, lunch is already cooked. Like as soon as they come back from playing at 1 o'clock or whatever, like their food is there. The mm-hmm. all the shopping is in the, like, just
mm-hmm. yeah.
It's like everything that you need is plans out. There's never kind of a void, a gap where they're sitting up there like, oh, what should we give Charlotte next? I'm not really sure. Let's just leave her to just, you know, flounder for a month while we think about it. Like that doesn't happen. They know, they know, they know.
It's not cruel. It's
no,
not cruel.
And it really feels it sometimes, but it isn't. It isn't. Yeah. They're giving, when we don't have what the thing that, well, when we feel like we don't have the thing.
Right.
Then, you know, it's just.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I was just going to refer back to the pause, but yeah, okay. The key thing is that we're always being provided for, always, 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 always.
Mm, absolutely. Okay. I just want to add a little something. And I'm reminded in this moment of, for those who've been listening for a long time, I'm heavily into symbology and dream interpretation. That was my first love. It started at 4 years old. And looking at these cards now, I'm reminded of my passion for interpreting symbols, right? And that's what the cards mm. are. They're all symbologies. What we're using yeah. as a springboard here to get to the energies present, which is it's a fun process for me, actually. But I'm noticing something in the picture that I want to touch on that speaks truth to me. And so I'm sure that it will for you, Amy, and all of you listening. Behind this gentleman on this smallish grassy knoll, there's a tree. Solid tree with foliage, green foliage. There's a clear sky. And what this says to me symbolically, if I were interpreting a dream, what I would say, okay, he's not focusing on it. His arms are folded in a defiant posture, in a stubborn posture. His legs are also folded. That means he's closed. He's not open to what is being offered from, let's say, the universe or the divine through the cloud. But behind him is a tree. Mm. And for me, trees are all about strength, stability, and wisdom.
Mm.
They're reaching up for the heavens and reaching up for that wisdom, for that divine guidance. They are stable. They are strong. They all started out as an acorn. Let's use an reference. They all started out as an acorn. They all held within that acorn the potential. Okay. All that energy, like we were saying earlier, from the inner child to the higher self, all of that energy is contained within you now.
Mm.
That's here now. So you can tap into that now. And it doesn't matter what you prefer, what you had, or this shiny new thing that's being offered, and you just think it's not good enough or not sufficient or doesn't meet your needs. Let your higher self determine what your needs are and how best to meet them, because there are so many surprises in this process. But, you know, again, you know, he's not focusing on it, but it's there. There is strength, there is stability, there is wisdom. There is higher knowledge that's got his back, literally, because it's behind him.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, something else about trees that occurred to me recently, I was standing under an oak tree and looking at this tree, and it suddenly occurred to me, the branches were reaching over my head, and it suddenly occurred to me that the roots were extending underneath me to the same extent as the branches. And so actually, you're being held from above and from below by the tree.
That's something else.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
Yes.
So this guy is also being held. The branches are coming over him and he's sitting on the roots. The roots are coming under him, holding him up. So again, it's that metaphor for life has got you. Life has got you.
You're held even if you don't see
yeah.
it or feel
yeah.
it.
Exactly.
This is great. Okay.
Looking at these two fours together, we had the Four of Pentacles earlier and now we have the Four of Cups, and there's something very similar about them in that the two figures are saying no. They're saying no, thank you, I'll stick with what
I've
got.
They both are.
Yeah. And that's if I really recommend to the listeners who are not familiar with the pictures to look them up, or I think Charlotte, you're going to have them on the
on the marquee. The scrolling marquee will have the individual cards, but I will also upload a photograph of the four. And as you take
perfect.
A look, you have the number four, which is stability. Okay.
Yes.
You have the cups, which is emotion. You have the one figure, the five, which is change. You have the three cups knocked over, the two behind him, but he's got his back turned to them. Mm. In the four of cups, he's got his back turned to the wisdom and the horizon, so to speak. Something's being offered. He doesn't want to look at it. He wants to refuse it. One's refusing to look and the other's refusing to receive.
That, I just want to add that that is the traditional meaning of the card. But my sense with the card in this particular context is more that is not so much because the question is, how does the collective take care of us?
Oh, that's true.
I just want to emphasize the perspective of
what question even are we answering here?
Yeah. So the guy in the four of cups is looking at these three cups that are still there, and he doesn't even necessarily perceive that there is a need for something different.
Like your card.
And yet, exactly. And yet it's already being offered. So the universe already kind of has this, basically everything is lined up for us.
Yes.
The needs that we don't even know that we have are already ready to be provided for. That's how the collective takes care of us. It knows our needs, it anticipates them, and it prepares for them every time.
And even though we can oftentimes be focused on things because we are in a body, you know, the real gift is the insight that we get, the self-knowledge, the self-awareness. Like, look what we've learned about ourselves in the past year and a half since COVID.
Yeah. And
stop the world in its tracks. Yeah.
We also, like, what that gives us then is the ability to connect more. When we learn more about ourselves, we learn more about our kind of like our needs. And then because we're more aware of those needs, we start finding ways to meet them. And so we're more fulfilled. So it's this beautiful process of kind of expansion of our joy. Expansion of our real needs being met rather than the kind of the fictional ones that we spoke about before, the illusory ones.
The illusory ones. Yeah. And look at the stages of growth. And they're present here as well. The stages, we go from the fours to the five to the ten. And you know, imagine when it was appropriate, you learned how to tie your shoes. When it was appropriate, you learned algebra. When it's appropriate, you learn how to drive a car. So you know, when it's appropriate to learn those lessons, that's when they come. And so we have to give ourselves a break. We really do. Let's get to the last card and summarize this. This is fascinating.
Yes. So this one is pretty simple, actually. So the question to remind everybody is what we're invited to let go of in order to really live in this way, to really show up in this way. And it's basically human security, really. I mean, that's maybe making it sound a bit scarier than it needs to be, but there's this card. So it's the Ten of Pentacles, and the image shows a family in what looks like a fairly well-to-do kind of house. They're out in the courtyard. It all looks a little bit kind of old money. There's some kind of crests on the wall, and the Ten Pentacles are arranged in the shape of the Jewish, the Tree of Life from the Kabbalah.
I was just noticing that.
Yeah. And so the card represents, it's almost like when stability has turned to stagnation. It's just too secure. It's too comfortable. It's not that lovely comfort where we feel like, I feel so well and so safe and I can venture out from this and, you know, explore the world. It's more like just like, oh God, it's a bit stuffy. I've got everything I need, but my spirit is a bit, it's just a bit too much, like a bit too much safety.
It's when the new and the familiar now become stagnant.
Exactly.
And no longer what we need. That need has been satisfied and an opportunity has passed. Wow.
Yeah. And what you just said a moment ago about things coming, lessons coming or opportunities coming when we're ready for them. I think that this card is being very specific that we look at our lives to find those things. What is the thing that once felt great or maybe felt awful, but for whatever reason, now it feels like it's weighing us down? And those are the things that are ready. It's almost like when a fruit becomes ripe.
Yes.
Or a flower blossoms. Like that situation, you've needed it for whatever reason. And now it's just got to that point where it's like overripe. It's not serving anymore. It doesn't feel good anymore. Or it doesn't feel, I don't want to say good, because sometimes these are actually painful situations that we're ready to go let go of, or painful kind of habits or interactions. It can be either. In fact, it's more likely. Well, it's in any case, it just feels, there's like maybe a heaviness to it, or it's a bit like annoys you a little bit, or just kind of feels like it's dragging you down and not really contributing to your life. Sometimes it happens with relationships where, you know, it was great for a while, and then at some point you just, I don't know, you start to feel this little bit like, just not really feeling this now. And it doesn't feel like there's anything here for me anymore. So those are the things that we're being invited to let go of in order to show up in this way. So we're not being asked to let go of anything that we need or even that we enjoy. We're just being asked to be open to the things that actually they just don't feel like they fit us anymore. You know, sometimes you've got like a coat or a pair of shoes that you absolutely loved, and then one day you look at it and you think, this just isn't really me anymore. So I'm going to pass it on.
And the overall feeling of that, and looking at this card, because you also have an old man, a very old man.
Yeah.
You have two adults in the middle, and then you have a small child peeking out from behind the skirt of the woman. And so it's about, what have you outgrown? You know, the new and familiar is wonderful. But as you move through the stages of what you were to gain from that experience, that relationship, that possession, even at some point, that experience is complete.
Yes.
That growth is complete. That newness provided you with an opportunity to say, hey, this is something new and exciting, and draw you into it, draw and get your attention, draw you into it. But at some point, that energy is complete, because energy is cyclical. Now we're at a new cycle because we're at the number 10. It's the 10 of Pentacles.
Correct.
We're at the higher expression of whatever you were in. And so this little child's looking, and the man, you can hardly see him. Because he's covered up in this, what appears to be a cloak. You can tell me better, Amy, but he's kind of obscured by the pattern of whatever that garment is.
That's an interesting observation. So it's almost like, I mean, the gown, the cloak thing is very, very ornate, very kind of heavily embroidered, and just like very fancy, looks like it might be quite heavy. And I guess maybe the symbology of that is that this thing has just become heavy now. It's become so developed. It's just so, it's so ripe. It's ready to fall off the tree. Mother uses I've never really quite understood this in a kind of conceptual way, but she said it so many times, that when we let things go, they are recycled in the collective. Somehow that energy that we're done with it, but somebody else needs it, or something like that. So this is those things. It's like when you've outgrown that thing, or you just that sweater, you just don't like it anymore. It doesn't feel like you anymore. So you give it to somebody that will enjoy it, or you,
and
you
they get the newness of the experience, and that energy travels with it. Fascinating. I have not heard her say that. I would like to hear that. What she did say recently, and I just before we sign off, I want to tell everybody about this series again. But she did say, you know, letting go doesn't mean that you want to get rid of a lot of things in your life. Some things can remain. What you let go of is, once again, your hopes, your fears, your attachments, and your expectations about that one person, place, or thing. Let's go full nouns here. The person, place, or thing that is the object of your expectations or attachment. We can let go of that, and it can still remain. And so it just depends on the situation.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. And this one here is really talking about things that that we're ready to let go of. And that's actually a really nice point, Charlotte, that doesn't necessarily mean that thing is going to leave. It may be that our relationship with it changes. So that it's a nice reassurance. When we're willing to let go, then we step into the co-creation, and then life decide, or our soul, or whoever decides, you know, it's going to stay in your life. Actually, it's just going to be in a different way, or it's going to leave your life completely, but something is going to shift. Something about energy is going to
whichever is appropriate to your highest good. You know, let's get back to the highest good.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you can recycle it by, you know, speaking to what Amy just told us about Mother Mary's words and about recycling it and giving that gift to someone else. But you can also repurpose it. In other words, look at it from a different perspective. How can it support you in a new way? Something familiar can support you in a new way. Certainly.
Yeah.
Just simply by seeing it from a different perspective, like through the eyes of a child or through the eyes of an old man. You can look upon the same object and get two totally different.
Yes. And the key thing to look for all of us is this feeling of stagnation, heaviness.
Yes.
Just feels a bit crusty and dusty. That is the thing that we're being asked to let go of. And how we let go, that's not really something we need to think about. It's letting go is all about willingness. It's just about willingness. That's it. We don't have to figure out the mechanics. The mechanics will be taken care of. Our role at this, I guess, kind of goes back to our reading on co-creation. Like, our role is to be willing.
Open and willing. That's all is required. No experience necessary.
Yeah, exactly.
But if you have some, it will smooth the bumps in the ride, I will assure you.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow, this has been especially enlightening. I so enjoy this process. And
me too, Charlotte. It's just such a pleasure. So beautiful.
And you know what? What's also beautiful is that, like we said, you know, at the top of the show, we're both going through something that is quite uncomfortable. We don't know how it's going to turn out. It makes you feel vulnerable and open to, in a negative way, open to something bad. But if we trust and have faith, then, and my point is, much of what we said today is what we needed to hear ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to give a shout out to Mother here, because she said something that I just love in one of her Monday YouTube presentations. It was a few months ago.
That's what I want to talk about.
So this one, I can't remember the title of it, but it was, the topic was sharing, and she said, we all know about fear of the unknown, but what about excitement of the unknown? What about excitement? All the beautiful things that have ever happened in your life have come out of the unknown, and all of the beautiful things that are going to happen are all going to come out of the unknown. So why not, knowing that you're loved and you're held, your needs are all known and provided for, why not be excited about what you're going to be given?
Right. I mean, we like the happy surprises, meeting someone new, getting that new job, you know, all that's well and good. You know, we're back to tossing daisies and shooting rainbows all over the place.
Yeah, that's exactly. Great. Exactly.
But when that fear of impending loss is there, oh, suddenly the unknown is a very dark cavern that terrifies us. So flip it around, and you can do this. Stop, sit with the feeling, and then flip it into excitement. I can get more into that in another segment with the mechanics of that, because we both like mechanics. But yes, I wanted to share, as I mentioned, I wanted to share very quickly that Mother Mary does her live streams every week on YouTube. And that channel is Mother Mary Channel. Now, what she asked me to do is to get a number of her videos that she has recorded recently and collect them, gather them, and put them in a section on my website on her page. And for all of you to access more readily, because this way you don't have to search for them in the full lineup, because there's so many videos. Danielle works very hard. Danielle Gibbons is her channel. If you're new to the show, she works very hard and she cranks out a lot of videos, but I'm going to do that. But what the context is of this, of these sequence of videos, it's almost like a series. And a couple months ago, Mother started talking about the wisdom of the soul. And a couple months later, she picked up that topic again and talked about a different aspect of our experience with the soul. And now there are at least two more. So this is definitely a series, and she indicates that she will continue talking about the soul. So this is a fantastic opportunity, especially if you're having a hard time, because not understanding for many of us is what makes it so frightening. because we don't understand. If we understand what's happening in any given scenario, then it's not as frightening. We're like, okay, well, this is happening. Or, you know, we can simply, let's say mechanics, we can say, okay, the mechanic has my car up on the lift and he's ripping my tires off. But you can tell yourself, it's okay. I've been here before. He's just going to rotate them. He's not stealing them. That kind of simplicity.
I love that. I love that analogy. My car is in the garage. I trust the mechanic. I have no idea what's happening, but.
But he's ripping my tires off. Is he going to steal them? Doing. He must know what he's doing. Oh, he's rotating them. Don't I feel silly?
Or is she? Or she.
Or it's she, sorry.
Hashtag or she.
Hashtag come for the terror, stay for the irritation. But anyway, so that's what it will be available on the website for you to peruse. You go to the website, spiritualinsightsradio.com, and scroll down to the Masterclass Educational Series, Guidance from Spirit, Channel Messages from Beyond the Veil, and slide over to Mother Mary, and I will have that encapsulated on her page, so that you can go through and start from the beginning, because she does this thing where she's laying a foundation and then building upon it. And we really need this information. I know this because she's doing it. And there is purpose and there is brilliance to her curriculum. So that's what I wanted to share with you. Or you can just go to YouTube and Mother Mary channel once again and just start exploring those videos. If you'd like to join us live, I'm always there. I try not to miss it. But she is live at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern in the United States every Monday, unless Danielle is busy with a retreat or some other reason not to show up, but normally they're there. And so we all get together and share in that energy. And she's been teaching about the soul, and I am learning a lot.
I really want to second that, Charlotte. I mean, they just blow my mind every time. They just, you know, the comfort I feel, the peace I feel, the calmness, it's beautiful, absolutely beautiful.
And something quirky about me, you know, everybody knows, everybody hearing this, if you've been in a long time listening, you know I am prone to depression, you know, and that kind of thing. And in my experience in the last, you know, 4 months, hasn't been like that. It's been something totally different. And I'm so excited. Keep bringing on the different, because the old wasn't really working. Keep bringing on the different. Looks like my 2 hour silence is up. Keep bringing on the different, the new, and I want a new experience. But anyway, nothing pulls me out of fear more quickly or more humorously than to learn. So I can be in one of those, you know, dizzying spaces of how do I figure this out? You don't have to figure it out, Charlotte. Stop it. You know, and you get into that, the devil on your shoulder, the angel on the other shoulder. You know, you can get into those moods. Well, Mother Mary's coming on in an hour. What do you say? You let all this go and just listen. And I do. Mm-hmm. And then you learn. And then I have something exciting to have in my hands and roll over and look at it and do my little formula, you know.
Yeah.
Observe my behaviors, observe my reactions, my tendencies, my reflexes. Okay, analyze it. Where does it come from? Break out A Course in Miracles. You know, how do you integrate this into where you're headed? Okay, we need these tools. We can put these tools back in the shed or the toolbox. Maybe we can use them later, but this is what we need now. And then it's like those little training wheels. We need different training wheels today. We put them on and we get in our little car and we shuffle with our feet and get it moving. And that always gives me, at least for a week, gives me something to be excited about.
Beautiful.
And in the calmness, that is where you are open and that's where you are willing. And that is where spirit can reach through and connect with you. Because when you're spinning around, they're just going to simply wait for you to tire yourself out. Wait for you to sit down calmly so they can connect. So you can do it consciously and willingly, or you can tire yourself out and collapse on the ground and say, I give up. And, you know, and that's what I've often said is, and just to strengthen this point, they're not asking you to submit. They're asking you to surrender. And there's a vast difference between the two. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much once again, Amy, for your time, expertise, your wisdom, and your love.
Oh, Charlotte, and thank you for all of yours. This is such a, I just love that we do this.
It's fun.
It brings
isn't
me
it?
So much joy. Yes. So
much fun. I know. So much fun. This is my baby. This is my baby. Mm. We are 8 years old this year. And
wow.
And I look forward to, you know, fun things coming in the future. Until that happens, I'm going to do my best to have fun with what I'm experiencing now so that I can, you know what I want to do? I want to laugh my way through it. I don't want to cry now.
Yes.
I don't want to cry now and then look back and say, oh, look, you did it again. You knew you were going to land on your feet. You say it every time. And we also like to say here, you know, they didn't bring us this far just to drop us on our head.
Yeah.
They didn't. Yeah. Can we finally trust that and overlook the inconveniences and our feelings can be hurt when an expectation isn't met. You know, you thought you were going to be living in that fabulous home. It was not offered to you. It was given to someone else and you're okay with that on the main floor, you know, on the main floor. That reminds me, I have something else to say, but as we look at the feelings that are triggered, then we can go deeper and then we can really move through this perhaps with the level of, you know, spiritual maturity that we keep striving for. You know what? It's already here. Just employ it, utilize it. There was one thing I forgot to mention with regard to Mother Mary's videos. There's a video from summer of 2021. I believe it's July or August. Well, that would be summer of 2020. It was published either at the end of July or the beginning of August. That's the time frame. This is one of the live streams. And so after the live stream, it now becomes a video. But what she did was a guided meditation. And the meditation is about getting back into the flow. Whether this is a part of you that is stagnant. And I thought it was funny that you even brought up the word, Amy. Because I do this meditation every single day and had it for about a month at least. And I feel a definite difference in terms of, as Mother says, it can be a part of your life, your energy field that had flow when you were younger. It can be an area that hasn't had flow in a very, very long time, maybe not since childhood. The beauty of it is you don't have to pick an area of your life. Your soul does it for you. You can do this on your own, but she says if you do it with her, there's a much more powerful impact. And so look for that. And it's a meditation about getting into the flow. But I will, of course, isolate that and make it available on the website so that you can download it for your personal use. But this has really made a change for me. For me.
Sounds beautiful.
10 years ago, if I was going through this, I'd be a basket case.
Yeah.
And it feels like things are moving in the right direction. So I'm grateful and I'm happy and I'm grateful to you. So thank you.
Likewise.
Don't forget, hello@blazinghearttarot.com is how you get in touch with Amy if you'd like to reach out for a reading of your own in a private setting. Spiritualinsightsradio.com is where you go to check out the archives, sign up for the newsletter, or book an energetic healing session with me. I would be honored to be of assistance to you. Thank you so much, everyone. For the privilege of your time. We are grateful for your participation and your company. Until next time, God bless and be at peace.